interesting to see that the super trawler story has come up again, or certainly as a concern for tuna fishermen, for environmentalists and others that were opposed to it when it first came around as a story. Nobby Clark, if you can come forward onto a microphone, let's have a listen to you. Todd Lambert, good morning as well. Now, Todd, what are you in here for? We're talking about super trawlers. Todd, what's the issue got to do with the union movement?
Yeah, good day, Leon. Look, I was heavily involved in the union movement, in the original super trawler campaign, being a Northern organiser. I guess we received a phone call about bringing this issue to a head once again, because we really haven't got the commitments from the government that we'd like in regards to the total removal of a super trawler from Australian waters. Mm. We've got some severe concerns that this hasn't been signed off on, that politicians haven't listened to the Tasmanian people, who have indicated they don't want this thing in Australian waters, and we're just seeking some commitments for the candidates in the upcoming state election as to what their views are on this, and not have loopholes like they've got sitting in front of us at the moment saying that it's relying on the science, because as far as we can see, they're big enough to drive a truck through.
So on the one hand, you're a keen fisherman, but on the other hand, you represent workers. I mean, the opportunity was flagged in the first instance for processing to be done here. There'd be crews on the ships. It'd be based out of Devonport. I mean, that'd mean jobs and opportunity, wouldn't it? If the science stacks up, why not have it here?
Well, let's talk about sustainability, Leon. Sustainability and jobs and opportunity is the local everyday mum and dad angler, which basically I speak for, and basically I fight for the rights for every day as a trade union organiser, for recreational weekends and that, to go fishing. When we go to places, say, like George's Bay, we spend money in the community. We buy our lunch, we buy fuel, we fill up our boats, we pay our registrations, we donate money to masts through our licences to get moorings done. That's sustainability from that end. We go out on the water, we teach our kids sustainability, let the little ones go to grow, only keep what you need for a feed. So that is sustainable as far as we're looking at. Getting a super trawler to come in, an offshore a processing plant, a factory super trawler, and send the profits offshore does not make sense to us. So in answer to your question, we see that there's more jobs to be made doing what we're doing than offshoring them.
For people who have just arrived in Tasmania and might have missed the super trawler issue, it was first raised a couple of years back now. A Tasmanian company wanted to bring a super trawler that's, I think, flagged out of Europe, had been working in Africa potentially to catch jack mackerel and red bait and another species that I've temporarily forgotten, but certainly to catch quotas of that. And at the time, the government said, and the Fisheries Management Authority said, the science stacks up, it can do it, and the fishery won't be harmed. Under political and popular pressure, they changed that view to say a couple more years is required for the science to come in. Nobby Clark from the Game Fishing Association, why are you worried about this now?
We're concerned that, Leon, within this actual harvest strategy for the fishing, the phenomenon known as localised depletion was not even taken into account. It's an issue that we've seen happen now twice in our area in southeast Tasmania from Eagle Hawk Neck in regarding the jack mackerel in the years previous, when the Tribunna fish meal got to a level of 40,000 tonnes a year. We all remember the days when the Derwent River used to fill up with jack mackerel. Simply they were overfished and they disappeared. We believe that after this overfishing event occurred, that the small pelagic red bait become the new dominant species, which then again prompted the operators to then begin harvesting red bait. In that area, we were concerned at the time, totally respectful to the commercial operations to go about their business. We said nothing. But again, we've seen red bait depleted to a level in Eagle Hawk Neck where we believe it had a drastic impact on the occurrence of bluefin tuna frequenting the area. And it had a massive, drastic effect in the time to our fishing efforts in regards to this sport and the general economy that is supported by game fishing throughout Tasmania. So we're really concerned that the small level of fish that caused localised depletion in previous years, which was only 5,000 tonnes throughout the Eagle Hawk Neck area, this vessel can now go and catch 5,000 tonnes in 6 weeks, not 12 months. And then, yes, it's fair enough to say that it can move to another area, but simply our vessels cannot. And we're really concerned that if there's not an absolutely scientifically backed protocol regarding localised depletion, we're really concerned that it's going to cause drastic issues with confidence within game fishers putting money forward, going forward into the game fishing sector in Tasmanian waters.
And so you're worried that it might fish too close to home. In other words, if it's based in Tasmania, you're worried it might fish too close to Tasmania rather than heading around the enormous area to operate that it has, which is from, I think, Queensland right around to Western Australia.
I'm not concerned just for Tasmanian waters. I think, if anything, I'm representing everybody that's never seen these fish harvest in an intensive area like we have before. So, you know, I'm sticking up for areas right up the eastern seaboard and right across to WA. We know that localised depletion occurs. It was not addressed in this harvest strategy. And we really want to fight this time for the rights that it needs to be addressed. It's never been addressed before in Commonwealth fisheries. And when you're going to introduce the world's most efficient vessel catching a low-profit, high-volume fishery, the only way to make it economically viable is to locally deplete.
And so you trust the scientists, the Australian Fisheries Management Authority, and you say, you tell us if this will raise problems. So, you know, it sounds to me like you are a sceptical about any outcome that might come from the science if it allows a super trawler to operate out of Australia, and particularly out of southern Australia or Tasmania.
Yeah, well, Leon, talking about sceptical, I am sceptical. There's been plenty of examples in the past where science has been wrong. And to go on a bit of a tangent, asbestos was deemed as safe. You know, at the end of the day, I think the message that that the Tasmanian people and especially have sent through is they don't want a super trawler full stop in Australian waters. We can argue the merits of it, but basically we just want a commitment and of the candidates moving forward into this election to tell us what they're actually going to do. What are their actual stance on it? Not that it'll be based on science. What is their personal stance? So that people, when they're weighing up their decision to vote for whoever in the next election, they can make that choice and use that information to do so.
Good to talk to both of you this morning. Thanks for coming in. An issue in the election. We'll talk about it with candidates as they come across our path, which will happen increasingly in the next few weeks.